series of messages that we've been preaching for a couple of weeks, and it's just before his return. And I hope today that we realize that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that Jesus Christ could actually come back any day. And we're going to describe the times that the Bible says it'll be like, and because I believe that God's people deserves the opportunity to have the knowledge of knowing that the Lord is getting ready to come back. And you know, in one verse that we use in this right here, and I want to read it as we've read it each and every time that we've preached a message on this, is I want to read out of Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to read verse 8, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. But if you will, let's just stand as we honor God's word, and as we read Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I want you to turn to the person next door to you and say, I'm glad that I am them. I'm glad that I am them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you, Lord, asking you that you would give us, Father, the very words you'd have for your people to hear, Lord. And we thank you for the message. And Father, we thank you that you have sent your Son, that to your God unto us, Lord. And we look forward to his coming. And Father, that as we realize that that we are short in time, Lord, we just pray that we'd be about your business, and Father, that you would be honored and glorified with each thing that's said today. Lord, we just pray that you'd go and be with us. Keep us, Father, for these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time, and I want you to realize that as we realize, will the Lord find faith when he comes? You know, I want us to consider, if you will, this morning, the decline in holy morals that are taking place in our nation today. And this is an indication that the Lord will come back. You know, he wrote over there in 2 Timothy, he said, in the last days there shall be perilous times. He also wrote over there, he said, in the last days they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. If you have a copy of God's word and would, I'd like for you to turn with us into Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1. And the Bible's going to read in Romans chapter 1. And it talks about how that in the last days there'll be apostasy that will come upon the world. The Bible reads such as this. Because, in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, then they become fools. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen and amen. This goes right along with our Sunday school lesson that we had this morning. If you come out, and what a wonderful Sunday school it was. How that we, in the times that we're living in, how that we choose to worship the things of this world, the manna of this world, and the things that are created by man are man himself more than God in these last days in which we're living in. Now, you might think, well, I'm going to sound political, and if it sounds political, then political it must be, but that's not my intention today. But I'm here to tell you that in these last days, according to history, according to the Word of God, and according to the nature of man over there, I'm here to inform you that socialism and Christianity cannot harmoniously function together. Can I get a witness on that? And you know, as we think about this just for a moment, and you're either blind, stupid, or ignorant if you're not seeing over there how that we are turning into a socialist nation. And in order for socialism to work, they must destroy Christianity to get there. And that's why that in America we've seen the great persecution of the church and the things of God over there is because socialism cannot live in harmony with Christianity. And I want you to know something else today. In order for it to destroy Christianity, the first thing we have to destroy is the Word of God. The first thing we have to destroy is the validity of what God has to say. But I want you to realize today that our children and all these young folks right here will either view the Bible one day as a legend or as history. Are you with me? Hey, listen, the Bible is a factual book. The Bible is an erroneous book over there. And it is not a legend, it is not a fairy tale, it is not a book of history over there, but it is the Word of God. Amen. Hey, young folks today, don't you go off to college and let them brainwash you. Don't you go off and let some of these folks over there tell you different over there that this is the spoken Word of God over there. This is the erroneous Word of God, and this is the picture of God as we know it in the world today. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. If you go to the verses preceding that, it's talking about homosexuality. How that in the last days over there, that they'll go from the natural use of their body over there. And those are the things that it's talking about there. They did not like to retain in their knowledge. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I'm going to tell you today, and I'm afraid to tell you today, but the fact of the matter is over there that there are people in this world over there that God has said, I'm done. That you can waste away your day of salvation. You can go to a point over there that God will no longer bother you about the life you're living. You can go to a point over there that the Holy Spirit will not convict you no more, and God will turn you over to yourself that you might destroy. I'm afraid we're seeing that happen to people in our very eyes in 2019. They seem to have no conscience. They seem to have no remorse. They seem to be able to operate any and every which way with no feelings whatsoever. I cannot think of a more hopeless situation than for God to say, I'm done. Oh, in these last days, we need to realize that and, you know, we need to realize that even in our social life, you know, we're living in a time where just anything goes. Anymore, I'm not shocked what I see. I'm not shocked at what I hear. I'm not shocked because it seemed like that the Bible says in the last days that they use their imagination. And they will dwell up. As a matter of fact, it said this. It said because they knew God. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. You cannot cut your TV on that you don't see a commercial, you don't see a sitcom, that you don't see a show over there that does not push the homosexual agenda in America today. See, the devil is a slow fox. He does things in increments until it slips in so subtle over there that it becomes the norm. I like that song where you say, the old devil is slow fox. I like to catch him, put him in the box. Blocks that box and throw away the key for all those things he's done to me. That's not exactly it, but our kids used to sing that all the time. Not only in social activities, where just anything goes. I think about our schools today. I think about our schools. We'll look in Acts chapter 17, church. Acts chapter 17. As we live in the last days and we see the decline of holy morals. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 18 said this. You know, Paul is at Athens, and when he's at Athens, Athens, by the way, always represented great learning. And I'm talking to young folks right now. Regardless of what some people might say, your school teacher don't know everything. Can I get a witness on that? And when you grow up and you're sent off to college over there, which is a den of lions, by the way, and you're sent off to college over there, I'm here to tell you that your professors don't know everything. As a matter of fact, and I'm not saying all of them, if I have some teachers in here, don't you be offended, but some of these are no more than educated idiots. Well, that's going out on the World Wide Web, ain't it? I'm going to clarify myself just for a moment. One of the great problems and the reason we have this thinking going on in ourselves over there is most of these college professors that have taught this generation that's running this place right now was a bunch of hippies out of the 60s over there who wouldn't go to the Vietnam War, and they are teaching our kids this liberalism and this socialism that we're creeping up in America today. Thank you, World Wide Web. With that being said, you know how history repeats itself. Paul, of all places, is at Athens. And in verse 17, he said, therefore dispute he in the synagogues with the Jew and with devout persons in the marketplace daily, and they that went with him, and certain philosophers of Eucypries and other stocks encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say, said other some. He seems to be setting forth with strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now that's your higher learning of that day. That was your college of that day. And Paul went over there and preached the simple message that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and that through his precious blood over there, all that would call upon his name could be saved. And they said, what is this babbler saying? Amen. Hey, listen to this old fool out there on the internet. I want you to realize today over there that this old fool is just like old Apostle Paul over there. He's telling the well-learned, he's telling those over there that there is but no other way other than Jesus Christ. And you can call it babbling. You can call it what you will over there. But I want you to realize today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said in verse, and as these people looked at him, he seemed to be setting forth of strange gods. because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. In 2019, if you preach Jesus, and I'm talking about the simple message of Jesus. What is the gospel, by the way? It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, no more and no less. You preach the gospel, and you'll be made fun of. Amen? They'll say, what in the world is that babbler talking about? What in the world is this strange philosophy or this strange theology? It is a strange theology that will save the soul. It is a strange theology that will turn men and women's lives around. And as he preached from Mars Hill, another learned place, as he preached from Mars Hill, verse 23, and as he passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And then he went on to say, that God that made the worlds and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in temples made with hands. Now, beloved, I want you to realize today that there's a lot of folks out there that are worshiping an unknown God, and they've made an altar in 2019 to that unknown God. They know that they're worshiping something. They don't know who they're worshiping. They don't even know what they're worshiping. But I'm telling you today, everyone worships something. Many of you are worshiping the almighty dollar. Many of folks over there are worshiping the things of this world. And I'll tell you, I have little worship right there. But we realize today that as we realize that we are worshiping and the world is worshiping an unknown God. But they're worshiping something. Aren't you glad today, those of you that know Jesus Christ and the pre-partum, that you know who you worship? You know what you worship. There's no doubt in your mind as to where your allegiance is and all these things. And I'll tell you, that will separate the goats and the sheep one day, because we know God and God knows us. Aren't you glad your name is written down? Hey, listen, in verse 29 over there, he said, for so much as we are of the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to silver or gold and silver or stone or graven or the art of any man's device. I want you to realize today, as we find over there, that they found themselves in a bed of idolatry over there. They found themselves into a bed of where that they were making graven images and they were worshiping these things. And it was prevalent over there. And you've got to remember that this was the birth of all Greek mythology was taking place in the minds. As a matter of fact, people's thoughts and all were gathered around all these things as they were centrally located here in Athens and at Mars Hill. I'm glad that the one which I serve today is not a graven image. But he lives, and I know he lives. Why do I know him? Because he lives within my heart today. I'm glad that I don't have to make a shrine, and I don't have to do all these things that go along with idolatry. And I know that as we think about this, and he said, and because he has an appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, that by man whom he has ordained, therefore he has given assurance unto all men that he was raised from the dead. Look in verse 32. And then they heard of the resurrection of the dead. Some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I want to tell you something today. The resurrection's real. Matter of fact, we have evidence that it's real. So when I go to preaching about the rapture of the church, I am preaching about resurrection. Are you with me? I am preaching about resurrection. And when you go preaching about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of church, a lot of folks, and I'm talking about a lot of religions, a lot of Christian folks will mock that. I tell you, the rapture ain't about resurrection. It's not about nothing. If the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, that's about as resurrection as you can get. But they'll make fun of you. But some of them said, we'll hear again of this matter. I'm going to tell you, in these last days, you want to spark people's interest, you start talking about the times that we're living in. Even the lost has the feeling that something's about to happen. Amen? That something is about to occur. And honey, I hope you realize that we're the only body that has all the answers. Yeah, something's about to happen. The Lord is getting ready to come with a shout. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be called up to be with him in the air, and so shall we be the Lord. It's going to happen. And that's why all the moral decay is taking place over there. It's because it's time fitting. Did you ever think about the fact that in prophetic speaking, or prophecy speaking, that the United States is never mentioned in the Word of God? In other words, evidently we are gone, or we're so insignificant that we don't play a part in it. You say, how could that be? We're the greatest nation in the world. How could that be? We're the greatest economy in the world. How could that be over there? I'm going to tell you, when the church leaves this stage, you're going to fold like a cheap suit. Amen. When you take the element of the church out and there's nobody praying, there's nobody lifting it up, there's nobody over there talking to God, there's nobody over there on their knee bones over there, this nation will fold like a cheap suit. Let's talk a little bit about the family. I wasn't going to go here, but hey, I got time today. How many of y'all like Hebrews 11? I love Hebrews 11. That's kind of an award ceremony for folks that's done great things, and it's a hall of faith over there, and they talk about it over there. Let's just look over there in Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of these people that we read about in Hebrews 11, their faith, Enoch, Noah, all these people. But there's some people in there that kind of surprises me when you go think about it. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to just in this right here. And I said, this is about family. Hey, if you're a parent here today and you got a child in church today, you ought to hug them. Say, thank God they're in church. There's not anything that you have done this week for that child that was more important than bringing them to the house of the Lord. I know there's a lot of things that we find important, and there's a lot of things over there. But I want you to look, if you will. Now, I'm looking in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, what is a harlot doing in the register of accomplishments and faith in the Word of God? Think about that just for a moment. Her actual name was Rahab the harlot. I mean, that'd be like calling somebody Jimmy the drunk. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But identified her sin with her name. And she made it in the Hall of Fame. What was her greatest accomplishment in life? She saved her family. Greatest thing she done was she saved her family. You know, and to tell you just a little bit like that, and I'm doing this in the form of invitation today, in the evil times that we're living in. When they sent the spies out over there, and they got backed up into a wall, and she took them into her house, they said, now, just whatever you want, we'll do. She could have asked for wealth, she could have asked for money, she could ask for a lot of things. But all she said is, remember me when you take over this city. And as they let down the rope that the spies went out of her window, they said, I want you to tie a scarlet thread so that we can identify your house when that time comes. Much like the Passover, by the way. And because that she was obedient to God, and the spy said one thing, get your whole family in the house and keep them there, and they'll be safe. I'm glad that y'all were in the house. I'm glad these kids are in the house. Hey, listen, I believe that could be representing of the church today and the world in which we're living in. If there's ever been a time that we need to gather our family into the house, it's the time we're living in today. There's nothing more important, Mom and Dad, that you will do all week other than get up and get ready and make sure that your children are in the house of the Lord. There's nothing more important than that. Grandparent, there's nothing more important, if you have control over those issues, to do everything in your mind that that child is in the house. In these last days that we're living in. Why is that? Because we feast upon the things of God at God's house. They can get any old thing out in the world. Hey, and listen. If you don't teach them, somebody will. You don't tell them the way it is, somebody will. My, what a job in these last days that we're living in, this time of apostasy. You know, something else I wanted to point on, and I'm guilty of it. Truth known, you are too. You know, I want to go back in Romans chapter 1, and I want to read verse 32. You know, we have TVs now that have 2,000 channels on them. And then you sit around, you look at each other and say, there ain't a thing on TV tonight. Ain't nothing to watch. I remember when we used to come, we got Channel 10 out of Knoxville, Tennessee. If wind blowed right, you might get Asheville. If the weather got right, you might get over there, but we had something to watch, and we had one clear channel and two snow channels. There's some in my way, it snowed every day. You cut the TV on, it's snowy. Snowed in Florida, snowed everywhere. But with the information that is available to our kids today, it's mind-boggling what they can tap into it. What they're able to do. And by the way, if any of you kids could, I wish you'd set my watch. I don't know how. With that being said, who knoweth the judgment of God, that they might commit such things, are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but here it's talking to you and I. But have pleasure in them that do them. You know, when we get something on TV and we say it ain't fit to watch, don't watch it. Huh? Every time that we indulge in watching two men sleep together, two women sleep together, and we watch that and we have pleasure in watching that, then we're guilty of it. Are you with me? But we have become so socially acceptant of everything, and we've come that we embrace everything that comes down the path. But listen, church, we have to make a decision. We do not have pleasure in these things. How many of y'all remember Foster Brooks? Probably the greatest drunk actor that ever lived on the face of the earth. Man made a fortune, and people indulged in his drunkenness because they had pleasure in watching him drink. Folks, that's wrong. Are you with me? But it becomes so subtle. We are not to take pleasure in the sinfulness around us. In other words, we're to turn our back on it. We're not to sit there and wink at it. And God's speaking to the church in 2019 and saying that we need to come out from among us and live a separated life. Are you with us? You know what I'm talking about. Hey, they come up there and you see that mess coming on there? There's one good thing about a TV. It's got a power button. Amen. You can cut that baby off. Social media the same way. You get on there and it ain't nothing but a gossip mill over there. Don't you indulge in that. As a matter of fact, don't you even read it. Don't you take pleasure in that. First thing we do, listen, first thing we do, I'm guilty of it. I'm going to be first, get on Monday. First, I get the paper, first thing I do, I go over and read the arrest reports. Huh? I do. I won't know what them people's doing. I get great pleasure and see who gets locked up. I don't need to take pleasure in that. Bible says it's wrong. Bible says it's wrong. See, that's a simple thing, but y'all follow me on this? See, in 2019, God has called us to live a separated life from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We may have to walk through it, and we may get a little dirt on their feet going through there, but hey, listen, my feet will hit holy ground one day. And we live in a world of declining morals. That don't mean we have to change. Amen? Let's don't change with the times. A lot of people, oh, you got to change with the times. God forbid we change with the times. Y'all come on, bring up a song if you will. Remember that. And I know we got grandparents here. There ain't a thing in the world you can do about your grandkids might live off and all like that, but you'd like to see them in church, and you say, well, there ain't a thing in the world I can do for it. Hey, I know a thrice holy God over there who holds the world in his hand. I know one over there that can mellow into the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. I know one over there that can change the circumstances over there if we would just fall on our knees and ask him. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever do is get your family in the house. Be right up there with Samson and all the others listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. And you say, I don't know where my kids are. Hey, it's dark. You need to know where your kids are. I'm going to ask that you'll come as we play. Ask that you'll stand and while we're singing today. 89.
Take my hand, precious Lord.
Okay. 89. We love this song. Take my hand, precious Lord. If you need to come and pray for them grandkids, you might have wayward kids over there today. And I'm going to tell you something that you need to do with a wayward kid is give him away. I ain't talking about running him out of the house, and I ain't talking about kicking him out there or throwing his clothes out in the yard. But hey, come and give him to the Lord. I've done all I can do, and I'm going to let you take over, and I'm going to take my hands off of it. And if you need to wear him out, Lord, lay it to him, but I'm going to stay out of it for a while. How many of y'all had to do that with kids?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all come on. Come pray for this great nation. Hey, listen, I don't have no other way to go. This thing's going down the toilet if we don't change, turn it around. Amen. It is. It is. It's without hope, without Jesus Christ. Y'all come on as we sing. Come on. Just Lord, take my hand.